Tennessee. I'm just out off about San Antonio with a radio blasting and the bird dog on. There's a speed trap with my head sound to town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down. Me and my boys got the trigger wound, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar jam.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis, freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way. Well, why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about
fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so damn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there's absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the you're talking about. Yosemite? It sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed, we cared about our neighbors, we put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
The world as we know it, and I feel fine.
And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And here we are on the 5th of July, the day after Independence Day. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's Wednesday, and I hope everyone, some of you had a pretty extended weekend. I was a little surprised there. When we had Independence Day in the middle of the week, we got Independence Day in the middle of the week off. But I noticed a lot of the, outfits were closed and construction outfits shut down and everything. On Monday as well, so yeah, that's fine. I have no problem with that. It's a great holiday to get some time off for. Independence Day is definitely one of my favorites, right? It's right up there with Christmas. And so let me turn this down just a little bit because it seems like it might be a little stiff there. Hold on a second. Maybe if I do that. Why have we got so much volume going here? How about that? Does that look better? No, that didn't change anything. Well, we'll let it go and see what happens. Let me run over to the chat room here and see what's going on today. Noticed a bunch of people coming in there a while ago. Let's see here. Come on, wake up. I've been sitting here looking at it, and then as soon as I go away, there it is. All right. Okay, we have the Tinker just come on. Glad you're up there, brother. I don't know how well you're doing, but you must be well enough to sign on, or somebody signed on for you. Glad you're in there. Doc's with us, Maddie, and Mini Men Pen. The NM Glock dove in there. Peanut Rider, Pumpkin Cat. You know, we don't see Iowa Cat very often up here. Once in a while. I know it's getting pretty late out in that neck of the woods, but some of the rest of you are out there, too, so... Rolex, Zardos, good to see you, representing from Washington. I think that's the only Washington we have today for some reason. Imagine the Yakima Glock be stumbling in here in a few minutes. Radio Doc from New Mexico. Got one anonymous there. I got a sneaking hunch who that anonymous might be. But I may be completely wrong, too. All right, let's see. There's some more anonymous coming in. All right. Right now, as we spricken at this very moment, we have, am I in the right deal or did I lose it here? No, I didn't lose it. We have 21 active fires going on, active wildfires. These are not controlled burns. These are wildfires going on in Arizona right now. And it looks like there's probably pretty close to that many in New Mexico. I didn't get them all counted before time to start there, but there's quite a few. And the conditions are amazing right now for wildfires. We haven't had any rain yet this summer. I was listening to the NOAA Weather Radio thing today, and they're talking about, 95 and 100 degree, 115 degree temperatures all around us here. 6% humidity. You remember back during the Wall of Fire, we had a guy that was the public information officer for Forest Service. Had him on the show when we was on JMR. And they were talking about the moisture content in the timber that was burning then, similar conditions to what it is right now. And he was saying, I believe he said that the timber at that time was at, the wood itself, in the heart of the wood, was 8%. And And kiln-dried lumber, I think he said, was 12%, or somewhere along those lines. Whatever it was, the wood that was, the timber that was burning out there was 4 or 5% lower in moisture content than kiln-dried lumber that you buy at Lowe's or any other lumber store. So, and he explained to us, you know, about the fires going uphill and downhill and then quite a few interesting things. That was a good show. I'll get that back out one of these days and play it as a filler. That was an interesting show. But right now, we're having, you know, way low. I saw the humidity one time down in, where was I at? Fort Irwin, California. Saw the humidity at 2%. I don't know if there's such a thing as it going down to zero or not, but 2% ain't far from zero. And, you know, it's 5 or 6% all around the area here. And these fire, I was thinking about these firefighters today. My word. These guys are nothing short of amazing. To voluntarily go out there in 100-degree weather and higher, with all that gear on, into the fire, or you know, technically speaking there, and I know that they, you know, I know that they have to stay hydrated, I know they have to take breaks, you know, I understand all that, but man, oh man, can you imagine what they're going through out there in those fires? And with 21 of them burned, I'm looking, some of these were updated just literally minutes ago. There's one that's 23, almost 24,000 acres, 47,000 acres, 28,000 acres, 11,000 acres, 18,000 acres, 15,000 acres. Several little ones that are 600, 200, 2,500, 500. And these are all over the state. Now, the interesting thing about this, for those of you that's been with me for a while, some of you even go back to AM radio days back in New Mexico. That was some years ago. Radio Doc might remember. I know that if C7 was here tonight, he remembers because he mentioned it on Facebook today about a prediction that I made back back when he was on AM radio, and talk about fire jihad. Now, what I say a prediction, I wouldn't go quite so far as to call it a prediction because I read a story in a one of the magazines the Al-Qaeda put out, and it talked about, you know, encouraging people to do that. And my quote-unquote prediction was that we would see that in the not-too-distant future. And it's been a little longer than I'd anticipated it to be, but it's happening. Some of you may have heard about the guy that we had over here. There's a fire just west of us here about, it might be 50 miles from us. Pretty good-sized fire. Matter of fact, I think it's the biggest in the state right now. Let me look here and see if it says. Let me find it. My internet's real slow tonight. I hope my sound's coming in good. It is the second biggest fire in the state right now. And there was a guy down there who they claim is an arsonist. They say that he has set at least 8 fires. Now, I know it's not all of the bigger ones that's burning right now. I think he set some smaller ones, and they probably got them knocked out, so it wasn't that big of a deal. It got to be a big deal, folks, when he started shooting at the firemen, at the firefighters. Yeah, he set some fires. He is a bona fide arsonist. And then he started shooting at our Forest Service employees, wildfire fighters out there. Luckily, he is a bad shot. He had a shotgun and a handgun. Didn't know how to use either one of them very good. And, of course, there's been a manhunt going on since early yesterday. They haven't found him yet. He's pretty dark complected. They claim that he's Hispanic. He may be from, Honduras or somewhere, you know, pretty dark. They say he's Hispanic. He may be. I don't know. But looking at the pictures that I saw, he could very easily pass for Middle Eastern descent. So whether he is a raghead or not that's out there committing his fire jihad, or whether it's somebody with the Mexican cartel, or how many of these states these fires are intentionally set, I have no idea. But I am absolutely, absolutely confident that some of them are. I really think that some of them that they claim were set by lightning, I'm not so sure that they're not trying to keep the panic down, because there's been some pretty good coincidences here as to the sequence of events, the sequence of these fires started, and where they were at in proximity to highways and whatnot. So, they may be blowing smoke up our rear end here and not telling us the whole story. Super Daughter is with us. Glad you joined us. It's been a few days. Actually, it's been 2 or 3 weeks, I think, since we've seen you in here. But anyway, we're glad you're in here tonight, anyway. Roll that. You have a raghead of your very own, huh? Okay. Yeah. Pumpkin Cat, it very well could be Larasa. It's entirely possible. Although I think that's very possible, and it's certainly not anything that I'd want to put out of my mind, but as bad as they want this country, I'm not convinced that if I wanted all this country, I don't know that I would burn it all up. Of course, now they're not going to, it's not going to diminish the fertility of the soil and stuff in most places. It will in some areas. Over in the Wall of Fire, it created what they called a moonscape. It pretty well turned it to glass, and it may be 100 years or more before anything grows over there. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Minnie, what is the name of that novel? Minnie says she saw a novel that was where the terrorists set fires all over the western United States. And if you, let me go over here and look and see in New Mexico. You know, Utah is burning up. A lot of fires in Utah right now. So you're going to be pretty hard-pressed to convince me that some of these fires are not intentionally set. It looks like there are 13 fires in New Mexico right now, active wildfires. Well, I say active wildfires. Let's see, there's 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 10 there. And on the next page, there are 3. All of them are classified as wildfires. 1,000 acres, 7,000 acres, 12,000 acres. Hang on, my computer's really not responding well tonight. I should have restarted it before I sat down here. 1,200, 3,000, 3,500, 176, 11,000, 7,000, 9,000, 20,000, 9,000, 7,000. So there's 13 fires going, all but one of them, well over 1,000 acres. A couple of them over 20,000. And in Utah, we have similar stuff going on there. So, we'll see what we'll see here before too long. Awfully smoky around here. Okay, that's enough with the fires already. Some of you may have been keeping track of what Antifa is doing right now. We have fires burning on more than one front here. We have wildfires going. Antifa, if you've watched in the Bay Area, Antifa has taken credit for a string of attacks on fiber optic networks in the San Francisco Bay Area. Apparently, they have cut at least 12 fiber optic lines recently. Not all in one day, but in the last little while. So it is said that the official Antifa Twitter page took credit for it and encouraged others to do the same thing. Now, it seems to me like they're cutting their nose off to spite their face there. I'm not sure just randomly cutting fiber optic cables is beneficial to their cause, other than, being very irritating and inconvenient to us and very expensive to fix. It is not cheap to fix fiber optic cables. I've been involved with that quite a bit several years ago, and it is definitely a project. I'm sure it's much easier and better now than it used to be. It used to be that, there was a company out of Richardson, Texas that used to go around, and at that time they had the only means and the only training to repair fiber optic cables. So every place I saw one fixed, it was this team out of Richardson, Texas. Now, obviously, since then, there's teams probably in every major city in the country. I don't know what, I haven't kept up with it, so I don't know what is going on with it now. But if I were in, on the official page, it says, the Antifa page, it says, here we promote snipping fiber optic cable lines in order to disrupt internet, mobile phone, and 911 services. Well, that's awfully big of you. Thank you very much for disrupting 911 services. They have a link, said it's goingdown.org/fiberopticcable. And from the belly of the beast, saboteurs have snipped another. Okay, lots of stuff on Twitter about that. Now, another thing that is happening here, and this, we may be hearing something about this in the very near future. There are quite a few 3%ers, militia groups and whatnot, Oath Keepers, whatever, having a, well, I don't know if Oath Keepers are in or not, but they're having a big FTX in Colorado. And Antifa found out about it. They posted probably 30 or 40 pictures and descriptions of guys that were allegedly going to be at this training, at this field training exercise. And they encouraged their followers to, quote, pay him a visit. So I have to look this up again and find out what the date was on it, but it's very, very soon here. So, a lot of stuff going on. And this was hard to believe out of Portland, Oregon, believe it or not. As liberal as Portland is, there was a real fancy little white car here, and in gold paint all over the side of it, it says, go back to California. There's a California couple just moved in there, and they woke up Sunday morning to find their car and their home covered in graffiti and telling them to get out of Dodge, leave town, beat it. They say it's easy to chalk this story up to an example of Oregon's supposed long-standing dislike of California transplants. Up until this incident, they said, this person felt that their adopted hometown was welcoming towards them. I don't understand that. As so many of these other things, I think their proofreader didn't catch this here. I think they're dependent on computers to proofread for them is what I think here. Anyway, so it was just interesting to me that this happened in Portland. And it is happening right now. That's what's interesting.
There's Yakima Glock made it in there. Joined us.
Yeah, Peanut Rider, that's a good point. Antifa destroying the infrastructure where they live, like Watts. Yep. Yep, see that. All right. Well, I think what we're going to do is take a little break here, and let me let my crystal ball cool off just a smidge, and we'll come back. We got quite a few things we need to share with you tonight, so we'll see how many of them we can get to here before it's all over. All right. Give me a few minutes.
I'll be back.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
Don't answer like that, Haji.
I hear people say we don't need this war. I say there's some things worth fighting for. What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down. They say we don't realize the mess we're getting in. Before you start your preaching, let me ask you this, my friend. Have you forgotten how it felt that day to see your homeland under fire and her people blown away? Have you forgotten when those towers fell? We had neighbors still inside going through a living hell. And you say we shouldn't worry about Bin Laden. You forgot. It took all the footage off my TV. Said it's too disturbing for you and me. It'll just breed anger. That's what the experts say. It was up to me. I'd show it every day. Some say this country is just out looking for a fight. Well, after 9/11, man, I'd have to say that's right. Have you forgotten how it felt that day? See your homeland under fire and her people blown away. Have you forgotten when those towers fell? Going through a living hell. And we vowed to get the ones behind Bin Laden. Have you forgotten? I've been there with the soldiers who've gone away to war. And you can bet that they remember. Have you forgotten?
Texas.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Okay, we are back. You know, we had a lot of fun yesterday. It was fun. Fun started sometime after about 1 o'clock. I worked for a while, and it was hot. It was not good working weather, but nevertheless, I worked anyway. And then we decided to take us a little snack and run up on the mountain. And I say up on the mountain. You know, we live at 7,000 feet, and people think, "Well, you're in the mountains." Well, not really. 7,000 feet is high to people that live in Phoenix or somewhere, but around here, it's kind of a modest, you know, mediocre height. But we went up to a little over 10,000, and it was 69 degrees up there in the heat of the day. When it was 95 down here, we climbed up another 3,200 feet or so, and it was 69 degrees. Little breeze blowing up. It was so awesome. Wasn't nearly as dry as it is down. It's dry, but there's still green up there, and it was just really nice. We just spent a couple hours up there just driving around and looking at campsites and whatnot. And so it was. Anyway, let me get on back to what we're supposed to be doing here. Let me get over on the chat room first and see, make sure we keep up with everything that's going on. Yeah, NM Glock, I saw that thing on Elephant Butte there. I'm curious to... I hope y'all keep track of that and let me know what's going on there. I don't live in New Mexico anymore, but I do like to keep up with what's going on. I still got lots and lots of friends in New Mexico. Lots of friends. Got some family there, too, as far as that goes. But let's see. Look like our chat room has changed too much. Maddie Buck, good to see you in here. She's come in, NM Glock. Okay. All right. I found now this story doesn't have, well, I don't think it has anything to do with the end of the world, the typical doom and gloom that we normally talk about. This was a little bit interesting to me. And no savvy this story. There are monkeys living in Mesa. No wisecracks, all right. Yeah, there's monkeys out there in a facility out in the desert in Mesa, and apparently not too many people knew about it. They were discovered by accident. Pretty good-sized facility out there, and the way the story is read here, you know, hundreds of monkeys. And it's off in the outskirts, out there by the Salt River Project Canal. And it's blocked off by signs, you know, saying, you know, no trespassing and danger and all that stuff. And on one side of it is a big ammunition testing facility. And there is a mystery monkey farm there, they say, is still thriving. They sent a drone over it. As recently as last weekend. This story is only a day and a half old, and it shows cages full of monkeys out in the desert. And there's one guy said he's scared. He requested to remain anonymous. Yeah, he decided he'd go check the area out after his son told him about the monkeys out there. He found a little bit of information on the internet about it, and he said that there was some videos and stuff that said that, saying that there was this former primate sanctuary and then sold all the monkeys to science for research purposes. And some said the monkeys remaining on the farm were left over after the lab studies ended. So they said that these monkeys are eating each other and carrying on, and so these guys, people were intrigued and wanted to go out there and look. So as soon as they got there, they were chased off the property before they even had gotten close to the gate. A guy just comes out there on one of those razor four-wheelers and was yelling at them to get out of there, so they got out of there. But the drone video they got shows all these big metal cages full of monkeys. So there's another band out of the valley down there, Mesa area. Also got up close and got some up close and personal pictures of the monkeys while he was out exploring. And of course, he also wanted to know what was going on there. So far, there's going to have to be a follow up to this story. The guys were concerned about the monkeys. And rightfully so. I mean, who wants to see, you know, however many dozen or 100 monkeys or whatever they've got out there die out there in heat? How long have they been there? Who's taking care of them? What's their purpose? Are they breeding them? Are they selling them? Are they, you know, what's going on with the monkeys? Interesting story to me. But anyway, the ABC 15, if you remember, ABC 15 is the ABC affiliate that interviewed me after the big sign fiasco back in 2012, said that they got a hold of several agencies out there to try to get some answers. The city of Mesa, Maricopa County, Arizona State Department of Agriculture said they had never heard of it, and they were directed to the National Institute of Health. They said everyone is out for the Independence Day holiday and that they would look into it. So this is just the day after Independence Day, so probably they haven't had time to do a whole lot. So they also reached out to tribal officials there of the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community. Haven't heard back from them yet. So I'm curious about that. I'd like to know. It's kind of a story that we don't cover much around here, but I thought it was kind of interesting anyway. So I bet you're glad I got that button hit real quick before I did that. Whew, that was a big one. All right. Next on the list. There seems to be more than one person out there that has gone so far as to publicly proclaim, to publicly state that the Constitution doesn't apply anywhere. Apparently, the Megan Berry, the mayor of Nashville, Tennessee, has said, I've got the video, Constitution does not apply here in Nashville. Quote, I am committed to meeting the goals of the Paris Agreement, even if the president is not. Sweetheart, I don't know what your deal is here, but that's not going to go over well, I think, with some of your constituents there. Anyway, she went out there and was criticizing Trump and this whole thing about the Paris Climate Agreement and all that. So this story is just day before yesterday. She said that, declared that as mayor, she will not be bound by Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution, which prohibits state governments specifically and metropolitan governments within state by extension from entering into any treaty, alliance, or confederation. The United States of America should be a global leader in addressing the dire impact of climate change on civilization. It is very disappointing that President Trump does not see that. This is what our illustrious mayor of Nashville has to say there. And she, well, it's kind of a long story, but you get the gist of what's going on there. Wasn't all that impressed. There's a story here that I think is kind of interesting. Teddy Roosevelt said this 100 years ago. Actually, yeah, just a hair over 100 years ago. This was when, you know, Teddy Roosevelt did some stuff that I didn't like, and I wish he wouldn't have. But still, some of the things he did, he was quite a man, regardless of his mistakes. He had a bullet buried 3 inches into his chest, and still managed to, this was during a campaign stop in Milwaukee in 1912, and apparently a crowd ganged up on the would-be assassin there after his after Teddy Roosevelt's stenographer, a former football player, tackled him to the ground. And of course, and this is something that bothers me about us, about people in general, and conservatives are not immune to this. I see it, you know, we've seen it by several people on Facebook about the arsonist and the guy that has allegedly shot at firefighters over in Forest Lakes. And of course, the first thing that comes out of people's mouths are hunt him down and kill him. You know, we're not supposed to be that way. Number one, he didn't kill anybody. He doesn't deserve to die. He may deserve an ass whooping. He may deserve to go to jail for a while. He may deserve to get his guns taken away. He does not deserve to die. He hasn't set any big fires. He hadn't shoot anybody. He didn't hurt anybody. He didn't run over anybody. And you want to just kill him? You know, we need to get over that. If that's the way it is now, before the poop even hits the fan, what do you expect is going to happen on day one of said poop hitting said fan? Looking at the chat room, yeah, but Billy, that was a big thing for Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah. So anyway, and Teddy Roosevelt, even in his wounded state, raised his hand and restored order there. And no, we can't do that. Yeah, everybody has a right to a fair trial. So anyway, he went on. There's quite a bit more to the story there. On down here a little ways, the former president now stared face to face with his attempted killer, and he said, "Why did you do it?" No answer. "Oh, what's the use?" Teddy Roosevelt said, "Turn him over to the police." Now, by the way, this was a Bavarian immigrant that, he said he must have wanted to know how much the disgruntled Bavarian immigrant had been influenced by unusually vicious campaign rhetoric that year. How much different is that then as now? Biased newspapers were especially harsh, dutifully painting Roosevelt as an egoist who was only running to feed his vanity. Does that sound like anybody that you've heard about in more recent times? Eugene Debs of Indiana, Socialist Party nominee, criticized him as a charlatan, trickster, and fraud, and ridiculed his campaign promises as the mouthings of a low and utterly unprincipled self-seeker and demagogue. Does that sound like anybody else that you've heard about in more recent times? Roosevelt's physician, fearful for his life, directed the driver to rush to the hospital. Roosevelt interrupted. "Give me that speech," he said firmly. "This may be my last talk, and while I am good, I am going to drive to the hall to deliver my speech." When Roosevelt was set at the podium inside the Milwaukee Auditorium across the street, the crowd was oblivious to what had just happened. Friends, I shall ask you to be as quiet as possible. I don't know whether you fully understand that I have been shot. The audience hushed. Roosevelt pulled the half-folded, blood-stained speech from his breast pocket, all 50 pages, which had a bullet hole through them. Doctor said if he hadn't put that speech in his steel-rimmed glasses in his pocket, the bullet on a trajectory straight to his heart would have killed him. Before reading the speech, Roosevelt spoke off the cuff for a few minutes, uncertain whether this would be his last talk. He made four major points worth passing on to Trump's enemies. People who today seem committed to nurturing a most lethal strain of toxic hyperbole. Inflamed political ratings. Point one that he made. I won't read the whole thing. Well, yeah, I can. It's only a short paragraph here. Point one, inflamed political rhetoric can spark weak minds to inflamed acts of violence. Listen to what he's saying here. Inflamed political rhetoric can spark weak minds to inflamed acts of violence. Now, friends, of course, I do not know, as I say, anything about him, but it is very a natural thing that weak and vicious minds should be inflamed of acts of violence by the kind of awful mendacity and abuse that have been reaped upon me for the last 3 months by the papers. Point two, people who engage in prolonged acts of slander, even against political enemies, should be disowned and repudiated. Friends, I will disown and repudiate any man of my party who attacks with such foul slander and abuse any opponent of any other party. And now I wish to say seriously to all the daily newspapers, to the Republicans, the Democrat and Socialist parties, that they cannot, month in, month out, year in and year out, make the kind of untruthful, a bitter assault that they have made and not expect that brutal, violent natures or brutal and violent characters, especially when the brutality is accompanied by a not very strong mind, they cannot expect that such natures will be unaffected by it. Point three, pitting the haves against the have-nots stirs up violence. Friends, every good citizen ought to do everything in his or her power to prevent the coming of the day when we shall see in this country two recognized creeds fighting one another. When we shall see the creed of the have-nots arraigned against the creed of the haves, when that day comes, then such incidents as this tonight will be commonplace in our history. Point four, workers, leaders of aggrieved groups should renounce disorder and not incite riots. I want every labor man, every labor leader, every organized union man to take the lead in denouncing disorder and in denouncing the inciting of riot, that in this country we shall proceed under the protection of our laws, and with all respect to the laws, I want the labor men to feel in their turn that exactly as justice must be done to them, so they must do justice. Roosevelt spoke for 84 minutes with a bullet lodged 3 inches into his chest, which remained there for the rest of his life. Hopefully his message will survive the centuries. There's a little bit more, but that's the most important part of it. I thought that was kind of a neat story. I mean, Roosevelt had, you know, looking back at what we know now and what's happened and what the government has done, I think that Roosevelt, as I think a lot of other presidents that we disapprove of, I do not believe that Obama ever once had the best interest of our nation on his mind. Not for a minute. I think that him and Clinton both had nothing but self-aggrandizing thoughts or something like that. But I do believe that regardless of what some of us think now, I think some of these past presidents really did have in their minds thought that they were doing the best thing for the country, even if what we know now may not agree with that. But I think that Roosevelt, you know, when we look at the national parks and then the stuff that he created, and we look at it now, and no, you know, we really wish he hadn't have done that. I really wish he hadn't have done that. But I have no doubt in my weak little pea-picking mind that Teddy Roosevelt sincerely believed that he was saving wildlife and doing a wonderful thing. He was quite a man, regardless of his shortcomings. I think he was quite a guy.
So let's see. Let me look at the chat room here and see what's going on. Oh yeah, Rolex, you're right. Derek, you're right. He very much was that. No question about it. Yeah, Doc, I've talked about those CB caps before. The CB caps were very much like what is now the Aguila. What the heck do they call them? I've got a few boxes of them around here somewhere. Anyway, they're not the subsonics, but there's the Aguila subsonic sniper, which is a 22 long cartridge with a 60 grain bullet put in it. Buddy, I want you to know that if you want penetration out of a 22, that's where you find it, right there. I forgot what the heck the other one was called, but they're just like the CB caps. Very, very quiet. I mean, so quiet that all you hear is the firing pin fall on a rifle. And not a bad idea for some things. But, yeah, CCI may have quit making the CB caps, but Aguila has not quit making theirs. And they're identical. They are a primer fired, no powder in it at all, just the primer. And there is a stern warning about bullets getting stuck in longer barrels. I never saw that happen. I think barrels that are dirty, barrels that are pitted, barrels that are dry, I think it's extremely possible. Yeah, the Super Calibri. Thank you, Yakima Goth. That's exactly what I was looking for. One of the 22s that I shot them out of many, many times was a 24 or 26 inch barrel 22. And while it does slow them down quite a bit, it never had one get stuck. Pretty accurate at close range. And they're deadly maybe on, you know, the smallest of critters out there, mice and rats, and you know, you might kill a prairie dog if you were close enough to them. There's not much poop behind them. But I do know some people that used them for noisy tomcats in town and pigeons up on the deck that they just couldn't scare away and everything. So they were effective for killing some small vermin. Let's see. Yeah, NM Glock, there's a, what was that company? It was Cherry something, or maybe that's just the name of it, is Cherry, or Cherry Adapters, or Cherry Subcaliber Adapters, or something like that. And, you know, you could put, they had 32, 30 carbine, and some of these other adapters that would go in 30-30s, 30-06, 308. You could put there were several different kinds of them. I can't remember all of them. They had a whole set of these adapters. And I believe Cherry something was the name of the company. And pretty interesting. It's not a bad deal. It's not a bad thing to put a couple of old inexpensive single shots and put away in a handful of those adapters, so that, you know, anything that you run across out there
within reason. You may, you know, and the poop hits the fan and it's as desperate as it gets, that you'll have something to shoot it out of. We can't save, you know, reasonably expect to save that many full functional guns for that many calibers, but we can save an H&R topper or something in 30-30 or something like that with several adapters shooting the smaller cartridges. Not an altogether bad idea, I'm thinking. All right. Well, what needs to happen now is I need to get on out of here. Best I can tell, Liberty Lounge will be here in all of its glory and splendor coming Friday, day after tomorrow. So gather up some, you know, y'all need to get some of your friends together. We need to get this chat room back up. I don't know what's going on here, what's happened, but we need to think about getting this thing moving again. So Friday at 8 o'clock Pacific, Liberty Lounge will be here. Got a few stories I want to share with you during Liberty Lounge also. Not so much of the doom and gloom stuff, though. Just a few little stories. So. All right, with all that being said, I think I'm gonna get on out of here now, and we will see you all Friday night. And I really do appreciate you joining me. Bye-bye. Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No explanation, no reconciliation.